Yo, what up? This is Ralph Figueroa, and you're listening to The Enter the Shell Show.
Shell Show, now streaming on Stitcher Radio. Log on to StitcherRadio.com for more details. And joining me today is comedian Aurelio Miguel Bocanegra. Did I fuck that up in any...
Actually, my own parents fucked that up when they named me that. No, you did good. You did good.
Yeah, and what I like about you is that you have a middle name.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like true or not, but I think it's true. As far as me, my parents never gave me a middle name. Mm-hmm. It's just Turtle, you know, last name, and that's it. And I think that's the true Mexican way. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm really Mexican, but you lucked out. You got a middle name, and I've always been jealous of people with middle names. Is it vice versa? Like, do you wish you only had one name, no middle name?
No, I wish I had a nickname that was really short. I feel like I'm like the inside of me is like a Timmy.
you're not like cool, like you put them all together and put like Amb or something like
no,
that.
No, you know what? I like my name. I really do. I mean, you know, it took me years to get used to it, but I do like my name. I mean, I'm just glad I'm not like, you know, just like a regular, you know, hey, what's your name? John. That's just so basic. Tim.
Now, you're going to be headlining the Irvine Improv February 1st?
February 1st, yeah.
And what special treats do you have in store? Do you bring like a grab bag of anything or anything like that?
I'm bringing a couple friends of mine. We're going to get crazy. You know, it's just going to be a great night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can find Aurelio at iblackmouth.com. And as I was like going on your website and perusing it, what is I Black Mouth?
Well, my last name is Boca Negra, and so if you translated that into English, the literal translation is Black Mouth. And so after years of ridicule and humiliation, I decided for it to be the name of my website and stuff like that.
So now you're embracing it.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
What, you're a big guy. If I can just say so, you're a really huge guy.
It was because the holidays were just recently, and I'm feeling a little fat. Thank you.
As you walked in, I was like, "Holy shit! This guy, he has a big fat cock." No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, and I'm God, just kidding. Jesus! Just tell me to zip up my pants. Why don't you?
You came in, you like totally unzipped them. You're like, "Can I show you something?" And I was like, "Oh my God!"
I did not.
It was completely outrageous. But tell me about being picked on. So I guess you were picked on as a kid or something like that?
I was tiny. I was tiny and hairy. Now I'm bald and fat.
How quite ironic.
I was skinny and hairy, just walking around looking like a freaking hairy Q-tip. But I was super skinny. I was like, you could see my heart beating through my chest when I was a kid. It was ridiculous.
And what made you want to become a comedian?
You know what? After the military, during the military, when I went in, I was just cracking jokes, cracking people. And so I always had a talent for that, you know, and just finally took it to the stage and it just took off.
And then from there, you decided to parlay that into a career?
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, just got real serious with it a few years ago, and then the acting started picking up, and it's just been awesome ever since.
Is it strange in the comic community that now you can see the serious comics versus the unserious comics? And is there, do you say, hey, dude, like, you suck, like, you might as well just leave?
No, you know what? I never do that. I never, you know, because everybody's different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you have, like, a lot of big-time comics out there that are making people laugh. And you know what? Some of their fans won't laugh at another big-time comic that's out there. You know, it's just too – everybody has different tastes. And so – you know, I just stick with myself. I've got too much to worry about myself to try to badmouth someone else.
What's the deal with you and Mario Lopez?
Mario Lopez is a douche.
Dude, he's AC Slater. He's dope.
He's an uber douche, that guy.
Why do you hate? Of course I did.
Well, because I was just sitting around and then I started changing the channel, and then his show popped in, which is just a worthless show.
Which one?
His reality show.
He has a reality show now?
He's got a reality show, yeah. He's got a reality show. All the stuff I say in the video that I douche him on, this is true. Like, he's on this reality show. He got into a huge argument with his family and with his lady's family about circumcising the baby. He does not want the baby to be circumcised. Basically, he admitted and fought for the fact that he's not circumcised. Guess who I didn't need to know wasn't uncircumcised? Was that douchebag.
Are you circumcised?
Uh-huh. I'm definitely circumcised. I'm cleaned up. I'm trimmed up. My freaking carpet matches my drapes. I'm bald, everybody. Hell yeah. There's, you know what? I don't agree with men plucking their eyebrows. I don't agree with them, you know, getting like all kinds of little, you know, all these feminine stuff. But you know what? Trim your junk. That's bottom line. Trim up. This ain't the 70s, son. You know, you don't need to rock a forest down there, dog.
Do you manscape?
Hell yeah. I manscape the crown. I'll put a little crown on the top hair. You know what I mean? You're going down on the king. Oh, that's, bow down. Oh, that's horrible. That's just inappropriate, Joe. What you went into?
Who else is a douche, by the way?
I mean, you know what? It was just funny. You know what? I don't hate on Mario.
You shouldn't hate on him. He's making his money.
But it was funny. It was funny to say, you know what, Mario, you're a douche. Because, you know, any guy who goes on TV and basically talks about an uncircumcised penis, you know what? You're a douche, son. You're a douche, and you should never have been given a TV show. We already know you, medical mystery. You know what I mean? Go to the doctor. You got health insurance. You make money showing this big-ass house, and you can't get a little extra skin cut off?
Yeah, but it's supposed to be more sensitive, you know what I mean? Like, you're able to feel more.
Why, because it's hidden?
Yes, of course.
No, that's horrible. I don't even want to think about that right now.
And when it's cold in the winter, it's like you got a little snuggie on.
Oh, geez, that's like a skin. That's just dirty skin snuggie. That's just a dirty anteater.
Okay, we're going to have more with Aurelio Miguel Bacanegra.
That's it.
We're going to have more with him. Look him up. iBlackMouth.com. Coming up next, I'm very curious and interested on your take on rap. We have this rapper, Shawna Kay. She's going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking to her about her album, Most Wanted. All that coming up next. But first, we're going to get a little tease into her album. We're going to listen to My Light off of the Most Wanted album. All that coming up right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Raise. It feels so natural, like Mother Earth is calling me from the same place. Garnet Silk and Bob Marley be a sign from God cannot be forgery. My 9 to 5 is boring me. Nay, want to come out and play? Make every day a Saturday. No longer suffocate. Plastic praise, darkness. Sun like the summer haze. Help me to embrace my praise. No longer waste my days on the TV. The bank rolls, the colleagues, the funny, the workplace. Low the smiles, the handshakes, the strange.
It is the End of the Shell Show, and you just heard the song My Light, the latest track off of the Most Wanted album, which is out now, and that track features Tan Matthews. And with us today is Shawna Kay. Shawna, welcome to the End of the Shell Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, it's a pleasure to have you. We were talking about this earlier, And how you came to us was Josh Bloom, he sent one of our writers a free download. And Sarah was like, oh my God, you have to hear this lyricist. You have to hear her. And I'm really strange when it comes to lyricists, because I'm not saying I like the genre or I like necessarily, you know, and for lack of a better term, rap, you know, that kind of style of music. But I was like, okay, because I'm always into like finding new music. It doesn't matter what genre it is, but I'm always kind of a little skeptical. And they played for me a song, and I was floored. I was like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for in a female lyricist. Like, because I liked Foxy Brown. I don't know if you're a big Foxy Brown fan, but
yeah, back in the day, man, I used to bump that Foxy Brown.
Oh my God, my dream was to bang her. I was so turned on by her. I was like, she can rap, she can do everything, and she was just so sexual. I loved it.
I think Foxy Brown's actually dancing again, so you could probably...
Is she?
No.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. I just haven't heard from her in a long time.
Right?
She went back to her roots. I don't
know. Now tell me about your album. And you're doing something, you know, I would say unconventional. It's a 20-track CD that runs 78 minutes long. That is unheard of these days. Why that way?
Well, I mean, actually, we were going to do a double album release, and it was going to be 40 tracks. So Josh, you know, he was like, okay, we're probably going to need to cut this down because we don't want to overwhelm the people. It's like we're reintroducing you to the market because, you know, I was in the group Your Majesty. Or I am Your Majesty, as the first track demonstrates for you. But, you know, he was just like, we're going to probably need to cut it down. We don't want to overwhelm the people. So, you know, pretty much it was my responsibility to cut down 40 tracks to 20 tracks. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that the story was told in full. You know what I'm saying? As far as being the most wanted, it's not coming from a egotistical standpoint. It's just like, you know, what I have to say, and the main thing, what I promote is the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, so I wanted to make sure that I was able to tell that story because, you know, I'm not religious. I have a spiritual relationship with God, and, you know, so many people, they're not in touch with, they don't have a relationship with God. And just from my experiences, I mean, I done been out there in the street, I done hustled before, I done did pretty much everything, you know, under the sun. And it wasn't until I really got my relationship with God tight that I started to prosper in my life. You know what I'm saying? God is not a religious God.
Mm-hmm.
God is love. And so I wanted to portray that message in this album. And so that's what the Most Wanted is all about, is me having what the people need as far as their spirit man is concerned. And then, you know, we got some dance music on there and some music I got with my wife, and, you know, we have some love songs. So all together, I just wanted to be able to tell the story of God being love, and what is it, and what can happen when you do have that relationship with God, and how complete you will be. So that's pretty much what it was all about.
Now, that is a strange concept, though, that your album does bounce around from, you know, some dancing to some rap, to a little bit of, it just has a little bit of everything. When you walked into the recording studio, was that the main theme? Was that the idea? Or did it just come about in just a random way?
Well, the Most Wanted has been like just who I've seen and felt that I was. And, you know, before it was like an egotistical thing. Like, you know what I mean? I've been talking about the Most Wanted since like 2003, 2004. So, you know, those songs, they were recorded all over the world, just wherever I'm at. If, you know, I meet somebody and they want to get in the studio, we get in the studio, or a producer send me some tracks, I get on the tracks. And, you know, that's pretty much how it came together. So it wasn't like I just sat down and, you know, went through each song and that's how I came about it. It's pretty much I had a catalog of songs. I probably had about 60 or 70 tracks. And then, you know, I got it down to 40 tracks for the double album. And then from there, we got it down to 20 tracks for the single album.
Wow. Wow. So you still have tracks out there that people haven't even heard. They're kind of like B-sides.
Oh, man. You know, I got music for days. It's what I do. You know what I'm saying? This is one of my ministries. Aside from me trying out for the WNBA next year, but...
Nice.
That's what I do, so...
Are you a baller? You could probably school me. I know you can.
You know I can. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. I got you. But, yeah, I do my thing. I got an academic and an athletic scholarship to college back in 1998 when I graduated. And I went to college for a year, you know, had lived a sheltered life. So once I went to college, I got a chance to get a taste of what the real world was, and I wanted more of that. So I dropped out of school when I was 19 and just started indulging in the ways of the world, you know what I'm saying, doing me, as they call it. And I eventually went back and got my associate's degree in business administration and now currently enrolled at Full Sail University out here in Orlando, Florida, going for my bachelor's in entertainment business. You know, because knowledge is power. I mean, our gifts come without repentance. So, you know, no matter what, we're going to have our talent, but everybody don't have the knowledge. So I just want to make sure I stay up on the knowledge because the industry is a beast and it will eat you alive if you don't know your way.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get more into Shonda K, but I still want people to listen to her album, and that's the most wanted, and it's out now. There's a link on entertheshell.com to go buy that album through Amazon, and we're going to hear another cut from that album. We are going to hear I'm the Best featuring, is that Sean B?
Sean B, your match. Stay on the best. Don't forget about the rest.
Exactly. We'll have more with Shonda and more with Aurelio right here on the End of the Shell Show.
And it was written so many places of a woman's inferiority in the word, the Bible. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, this ain't no church song. It's a people song because I got something to say. Hey, my name's Shonda K. I told y'all I wasn't playing. Y'all on religious fables. They got us where we at today. Well, let me explain.
First of all, I'm a sweet mother spoken to a knot. And don't fear that nigga. I'm not no robot. And I show sight when it gets sick and tired. Pull it back in the regroup. I work too hard for what I got. Try me, nigga, straight up fast. No gun, don't worry about getting shot. Shonda K, I'm the best. I told you I was hot. Wild deals, I deserve it. I heard, guess see what you make it. But society say to fake it. Put his dick in your mouth and take it, bitch. Do you gotta fuck his friends and his friends' friends? The devil is a liar.
I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. Forget about the rest, about the rest, about the rest. Gotta get this off my chest, off my chest. I am the best. I'm the best,
I'm the best, I'm the best.
Forget about the rest, about the rest, about the rest.
It is the End of the Shell Show, and my guess that by now you're completely infatuated, completely in love with, is the amazing Shonda K. ShondaK.com is where you can find her at, and we are talking about her new album, Most Wanted, which is out now. It's available. Go get it. Buy 10 copies. Give it to your friends. And we just heard, I'm the Best. We just heard that song, and that was with a former partner of yours, or
we're actually putting it back together. You know what I'm saying? I created Your Majesty. I created the name, you know, and I brought these other two girls, and I created the name in 1998 as a solo artist. And in 2000, I met Sean B. So I'm like, I got the name, Your Majesty. We can use it as a group. It's fitting for a group, too. So then we came together as a group in 2001. We brought in Jewel B because we were looking for a vocalist. You know, we both were, well, Sean considered herself a rapper. I say I'm a lyricist. And, you know, we wanted a vocalist, somebody to bring in the soul of the group. And so we brought in Jewel B, and that's pretty much how Your Majesty came about as far as the group. And then, you know, all the drama happened, blase squaze. So now Sean B and I are back working on a new Your Majesty album because the people love Your Majesty, and how dare we take it away from them. So we had to come together in love and harmony, you know, the same thing that I'm preaching. You know, I got to walk the walk that I'm talking. So I reached out to Shine and was like, you know, you want to get on this track? And when she heard it, she was like, hell yeah, man, that's right on my alley. And so now we rolling as a duo again, you know what I'm saying? And we looking forward to our next release. It's a song called Cherry Pop. So as you can imagine what we talk about in that thing, being gay, lesbian women, you know, we just keep it real to ourselves and keep it real for, you know, the people that they don't know how to be real, you know, especially the LGBT community. You know, a lot of people have been oppressed and depressed and stressed. And so we try to be role models for that, those people, because we are people.
You know, I just want to say, Shonda, that speaking as a male, I love lesbians and I'm 100% for your cause. I mean, I enjoy certain movies that feature. Actually, I heard everything you said, but can you explain blase squaze?
Blase blase squaze, like, you know.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. You had me at lesbian.
Yeah, I had to stuck, huh? Stuck like Chuck.
Is that strange, though? I mean, you love God and you embrace God, and yet people have this very twisted view of God and being gay, and they think that God, you know, hates on lesbians, which he shouldn't, if I can just be so candid.
Well, I believe, you know, I went through the same thing growing up. You know, I was afraid to come out. I was raised by my grandparents who were very religious. They came up during slavery. So, you know, I mean, you know, but like I say, God is not religious and God is love. And so that's what I have to go on. And what really made me secure with myself and who I am in my relationship with God is about a couple of years ago, Your Majesty was doing a lot of touring. We were touring all over the world, so it wasn't nothing to get some pussy. And so I said, well, you know, I don't want to be a player. You know, I don't want to be a pimp because pimping ain't easy. And I don't want to be a player. I just want a one woman that I can share my life with, have a family. So I went to God in prayer, and I said, you know, I know that I've been told that you hate gay people, but I love you, and my relationship with you is the most important. And what I need you to do is bless me with my wife. And I went down a list of what I wanted in a woman, and I said, what I'm going to do in return is I'm going to go on a gay celibacy, per se. So from October to December of 2007, I said, I'm not going to have sex with anybody. I don't give a damn.
Wow.
You know how the situation is. I'm going to deny myself. And I said, by January, I want to have met this woman.
This is now not a good story.
Hey, and it happened just the way I prayed. And I'm still with this woman. And so, you know, from that point on, and I'm looking at my life. I mean, if being gay was so bad, why have I been blessed to travel the world? I mean, you know, they do say, well, the devil, he blesses too, but not when you represent JESUS. You feel me?
You got to come to LA. Every other person here is gay. It's like not a big, it's not even a big deal. It's like, I got like five friends that are gay. They're like, what's up? I'm like, hey, let's go get a beer.
I've been there, so I already know how LA get down. For real. And that's what's up. You know what I'm saying? It's just about, you know, people being themselves. And, you know, I just want to be a role model and show people that you don't have to fake it to make it. For real, you don't have to fake it to make it. You can be yourself, and all you have to do is work hard. You know, you can't have big dreams and be lazy. I mean, if you have big dreams, you have to work hard towards those dreams, and eventually they will come into fruition. I was in the group. We were in the group Your Master for 7 years before we got a break. But every day we was going hard. You know, when we signed with Domino Records, we gave them 100 songs. Here you go. We do what we do. Yeah. You know, we weren't playing around. So as long as you put in the work, you can do whatever you set your mind to do, man.
Now, here's the thing, and you do practice what you preach. I understand that you are a stern supporter of people not dropping out of school. You want them to get their education, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least finish high school. You don't, I mean, a high school diploma would do so much for your self-confidence. You know, like people around me, I mean, literacy, man, especially in the hood, man, there's so many illiterate people. And, you know, you talk to them and they wish they would have finished school. My brother right now, he wished he would have got his high school diploma. He didn't have any excuses not to. He was so spoiled rotten, had everything he needed. It was just too spoiled, I guess, you know, and felt like he didn't need it. But, man, when you get that high school diploma, that's a sense of accomplishment. At least accomplish one thing in your little adolescent life. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want to go to college, that's fine, but get your high school diploma. Damn.
Also, you gave up smoking that green herb, right?
Oh, I had to give it up, man. I just went to the hospital Saturday, and they come back with chronic bronchitis. And I said, okay. Well, I hadn't smoked for 2 weeks anyway, so you know, I was like, well, no problem, I'm not smoking. And plus, I want to try out for the WNBA next year. I can't be an athlete and a weed head. It just don't go together.
I love that you're so committed in everything you do. Tell me about the writing process. Do you take that commitment to that next level when you're writing?
Definitely. I mean, it's all visual for me. If I can see it, I can believe it. So when I'm writing, everything I write, I can see. And, you know, that's pretty much how it go. I mean, I haven't had the chance yet to sit down with a producer and, you know, give them my own melodies and make beats from scratch and stuff. Usually people send me tracks And, you know, if I'm feeling it, I kill it. And that's pretty much how it's gone so far. So, and it's working.
It is. It is that you most wanted is a killer album. Like I've been, and I know it's crazy because I'm like creaming all over it. You know what I mean? Like you could tell that like I'm just like holy shit, you got to get this.
I mean, I like music too, but did you just say cream all
over? Yeah, man, it's wow. It's really good.
Hey, this is disgusting.
It's possible.
It is. I'll tell you what. We're gonna get another cut. From your track, Most Wanted, we're going to listen to Here I Am to Save the World featuring Cindy Wonderful. And then we're going to have more with Shauna K. All that coming up next right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Now I know some of you heard the world was going to end in 2012. I want you all to know you don't have to panic. It's under control.
Here I am to save the world. I am here. I am.
Look like this, Shonda Cuddy, untouchable. About to be incredible. After a while, instead of so wonderful, with the two of us, nobody can cramp our sack. Any imitation just won't do. We don't need a crew. We just do what we do by goddamn sales. Cindy, you ready?
Yeah.
But go and dig and do what you did, do what you did.
It is the End of the Shell Show, and we are talking with the wonderful Shauna K. And why are you the most wanted, Shauna?
Because I got what the people need. I'm the only one not afraid to say it. Originally, the most wanted, it was always, you know, because like I said, it's been going on for years, and so it was always the most wanted because so many niggas front. You know what I'm saying? The man is supposed to be the head. And then you look at all these men in the industry, they ain't doing a damn thing for the people. You know, they one supposed to take care of the kids, looking out for the women, and all they talking about is money, sex, drugs.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
All the things I like, money, sex, and drugs.
If you throw in a steak in that, I'm in.
Yeah, a lot to say. So that's, you know, what it originally was. It's like, man, you know, who going to step up and talk about something real, something that we can use and apply to our life and, you know, and something that we can use to motivate and encourage and inspire the people. I mean, you know, we like we all agree, you know, hip-hop especially, or I say rap, that's not really hip-hop. What I'm doing is hip-hop. But what these other cats, they doing rap music, and it's not doing anything good for the people. And so, you know.
What's hip-hop to you?
Well, hip-hop is the message, a message that will encourage and inspire and motivate the people to do something good for themselves. It tells a story and bears witness to struggle and how I came out. So if I came out of it, so can you. You know what I'm saying? How dare you give up on life? At least try. You know, don't just cut it short because things are not going right. I mean, you have to try.
I totally agree. You have to try. I totally agree. Like, I don't get it when people get so depressed and then they kill themselves and stuff. I've never been that depressed because I don't get it. There's always something or something out there that's always worth living. Too much good
it
things.
It is.
Out. Yeah.
But I have been that depressed and I have thought about it. And it's like, what? You know, I was 18, 19 years old, you know, going through feeling like nobody gave a damn, was in like the most abusive relationship I have ever been in. And it was like, you know, what's the point, man? Like all the dreams that I had, what you know, my parents depicted the real world to be, it's not true. The real world is cold as hell, man. You know, and all this time they got you thinking that the world is such a wonderful place, and it's not. You step out there on your own, and you see, don't nobody give a fuck about you.
Damn, you know, you're real.
You don't care about you. Right.
So you are real. I love you.
Man, I love you too. And that's what I'm trying to spread is real love. You know what I'm saying? Not just this on the surface love, but I'm talking about real love where we're looking out for one another. I was watching a documentary on after the 9/11 incident and just how, you know, talking about how everybody just came together so genuinely. Like nobody had ever seen Americans really truly loving each other so much and like it being real. Since that time or, you know, during that time. And so if we can do that all the time, I mean, the world would be a better place if we had more love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we don't. So, you know, in the meantime, I got to keep crusading until I spread the love worldwide, man.
It sounds like you have everything figured out. Is that a true statement?
No, I don't have everything figured out, but I have turned my life over to God. And I said, I'm just going to go with the flow, you know, like right now. I got have an album that has been released worldwide, but I still have a job that I have to go to. You know what I'm saying? And so that I can keep money coming in. Fame come before the fortune. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in magazines all over the world, but my ass still have a 9-to-5. So, you know, I don't have it all figured out, but I say I'm just going to give my, let the will of God be for me in my life. And I'm just going to go with the flow because he knows what's best. And that's the way I feel because every time I try to take control, I always fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then end up getting myself in a deeper hole than I would have been if I would have just been faithful to God and just let him do his thing and I just be ready to do what I have to do.
I like the way you cuss.
Hey.
You cuss
you
good.
You know, Peter was a cusser. Hey, Pete, the apostle Peter was a cusser and Jesus didn't condemn him to hell. So don't try to tell me that cussing is all that bad.
Oh, hell no.
And this is what I'm saying to the religious folk. You know what I'm saying? All the preachers and pastors out there saying, how dare she talk about Jesus out there cussing? And they doing worse shit than I'm doing.
What's the deal with what's the deal with you and Nicki Minaj, if I can ask?
Well, it's really no deal with me and Nicki Minaj. I just feel like she's faking it to make it. I saw a YouTube video of her, and she was all studded out, bragging about how she just, you know, had gave Remy Ma some head, you know, the fire, gave her that fire. Oh, I ate the box, and now I see all, you know, silicone down and shit and all feminine, and, you know, in one instance, she talking about menage a trois with women, and now she claiming she ain't gay. So it's like, you know, stop being fake. And every time I look at her, it just seems like she's so uncomfortable.
Where can I find that video on YouTube?
I'll send it to you.
Because hey, I did not know that.
I sent it to a couple more people. You know, her tooth was all chipped and shit. You know, she had like a stack of money. I guess she was hustling. I mean, she was just it studded out and thudded out of Sean Decay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. You know, you did it. So it took 3 years for you to, you know, be reconditioned from this, from who you are to who the industry say you got to be to make it. So, I mean, you know, if that's the route you want to pay, but I'm not going to throw no skirt and no heels just to rap.
Yeah.
Please.
Lastly, you're going to be on tour till February, right? And you want, let me see if I'm getting this right. You're trying to reach out to a bunch of DJs and they will DJ with you at all your performances or something?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I said I'm not going to just roll with one DJ. I want to give people opportunities. That's what this album was about, too. I mean, I had over 20 collaborators between producers and just guest artists. So, you know, it's people, there's artists that, plus I can't afford to pay no DJ, so yeah. I'm going to give, you know, up and coming DJs opportunities to get up there and do your thing. I mean, and the way you make money is your ass better have some mixed CDs that you've been working on and you can sell that at the show. Okay. I'm sorry, but I just got to keep it real because I'm not getting paid. If I'm only getting $150, then what the hell?
And
I can't afford to split. Not yet.
How,
once I do start making money, you know, to give is to receive.
Yeah.
You feel me? So I'm all about that. But just right now, I can't afford it. So what I can do as far as giving back is to give other people an opportunity to be seen and to get some recognition. So,
how can DJs get a hold of you?
They can hit me up at shondakay.com. That goes to my Facebook. You know what I'm saying? They can hit me up there. They can hit me up on my email, shondakay@gmeqca.com. And pretty, you know, MySpace.
Okay.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's ways to get a hold of Sean Decay. So,
are you
really serious? Holler back.
Are you the last person that's on MySpace, or?
Hey, probably so.
I don't know if anybody's on MySpace.
You're on MySpace.
Well, just because, you know, I'm like those two other people that are still. We keep in contact.
And the good thing is that I just, because I was sending out tweets for somebody, you know, that could hook it up, you know, as far as do a design, and, you know, I can't afford to pay you, but I can get you some merch or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I had this guy hit us up. He just redid the Basement Jacks MySpace page, and he was like, man, I love your shit. I just want some merch, and I'm going to hook it up. I said, now that's what I'm talking about. See, everything that my heart desires, it comes to me. It comes. It might not come when I want it, but eventually it does. I mean, I've been tweeting about this for the past 2 months, and now finally this guy hit me up. So, you know, patience is a virtue, man. It's a virtue.
I love it. Do you have any tour dates that you want to announce?
No, I don't. You know, right now I just secured a booking agency, and it's been really tough getting Shonda K on because of all the drama that happened with my group, Your Majesty. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my band member, she was a beast, and she terrified people, man. So these people, like, hell to the nah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really slim right now. I'm not really sure what's getting ready to happen, but like I said, I got faith, and I'm just being patient. And, you know, as soon as I know something, you'll know something.
Awesome. Awesome. You can reach her at ShondaK.com. Make sure you go to her website. Thank you so much for being on the show. Like, the funny thing was, is that, like, when we planned for you to be on the show, it wasn't for like a few months from now, but it just worked out that we had you on today. So I just want to say thanks for coming on. And dude, it was such a pleasure getting to interview you.
Oh, thank y'all so much. I had a wonderful time. I really appreciate the opportunity. Keep keeping it real, man.
That's right.
Don't go straight to the top. Don't be afraid to be yourself.
That's what I'm talking about. up next, we are going to put Aurelio into the celebrity corner, but we're going to get another glimpse at one of my favorite albums this year, Shonda K's Most Wanted. We're going to hear Chasing That Sound, a song that I was like, okay, if we have Shonda K on, this is a song that we have to play. So we're going to hear that. And that's with Lady Lash, right?
No, yeah, no, Chasing That Sound?
Yeah.
Yes, that's featuring Lady Lash, definitely.
Cool. Shonda, thank you so much. We're going to have more with Aurelio right here on the End of the Shell Show. Back with comedian Aurelio Miguel Bacanegra. Right? Did I do that? Did I get it right?
Yes, for the most part.
You know. You are headlining the Irvine Improv on February 1st, so go check them out. For more details, log on to iblackmouth.com. And also, we're going to put the link on Enter the Shell so you can buy tickets directly and you can go have a great time. And
yeah, you can go to the Improv's website and choose the Irvine location, and they even have it up on LaughStub as well, so that's pretty dope.
So you're all over the place. I love it. Let's get into some celebrity gossip and put you into the celebrity corner. I'm very curious to know or your take on this. You're familiar with Octomom, right?
I think everybody is.
She has like 8 kids.
I know. She's got 8 at once, but she's got like, what, 14 kids?
Yeah, a total of 14 kids. Are any of them yours?
No.
No.
Hell no.
Well, check it out. She's expanding her brand, and she's about to appear in a new fetish video. Mm-hmm. And reportedly, she's going to be dressed in a black corset and she's going to be whipping men in diapers. Okay. Are you into fetish videos or anything like that?
Hell no. I'm just into regular sex videos like a gentleman. Just gentleman with my stuff. You know what I mean? Like two girls on one dude. That's gentleman's. That's regular stuff. It's every day. Maybe putting a grown man in a diaper and squirting mustard on him. That's just filthy.
Are you into having sex with like craziness? Well, are you just like a normal guy? Like, I just like a missionary.
No. I mean, I like the different styles and, you know, and different positions and stuff. You know, that's all fun. But I mean, I don't want to throw like food on a chick. Number one, because I'm thick and I want to eat it. But yeah. Number two, like, you know how hard that is to get out of sheets? Like, how do you explain those brown stains? It's chocolate, I swear.
Well, that's why you do it like me. Like, if I'm going to have sex with a female and I incorporate some sort of food or beverage or something like that. I get thirsty. Well,
you're just admitting you get them drunk so you can take advantage.
Yeah, drunk.
There you go. Here, we can use it. Huh, come on, another shot for you. Yeah. Then you'll say yes.
Don't be spoiling all my moves, man. These are like, you know, my top secrets, all right?
These are called rape moves. Yeah.
They all say yes eventually.
Oh, jeez.
But I get a hotel room, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to clean this.
What a gentleman.
Yeah, I'm complete, utter gentleman. So you're not going to be, like, checking it out or, like, curious how she gets down with the get down.
I mean, no. You know what? Like, that's just, oh, God, that's ridiculous. Like, and it was so funny because I think I saw something about her, like, wondering why she can't find a guy to date. It's because you got 14 fucking kids. You know, go home and freaking raise them.
But she has, not necessarily welfare, but she has a bunch of checks coming in from the government. I mean, 14 kids, it's what, like 20 grand at least a month?
You know
right?
What? She's racist. You got 14 kids, that's just racist. And I know a lot of people are saying, like, that doesn't make sense. You know what? Neither does racism or a woman who has 14 kids. Just, like, seal her up. That's what they need to do, is just sew her down there. Is horrible.
Moving right along, are you into rap?
Yeah, I'm into hip-hop.
Now, back in the day, did you ever watch Beverly Hills 90210?
Yes.
Who's your favorite? Did you have a favorite, like Shannon Doherty or like any of those?
Yeah.
Chicks?
Oh yeah, I think I was super hot for Shannon Doherty. Even I picked up the Playboy edition that she was in
because
I'm a gentleman.
Well, you read it for the articles, obviously, and the pictures.
I,
you know,
I did not read it for the articles. I looked at it for her boobies.
Nice.
But you know what? Like, but then she went crazy.
You know? As they all do.
Yeah, they all do. Oh, God, what a train wreck.
Are you a fan of Snoop Dogg?
Snoop, a huge fan.
What about Nelly?
Nelly? Yeah, I'm a fan of Nelly.
Well, they're going to be on the new Beverly Hills 90210.
Why?
Well, here's the thing. See, Snoop he's brilliant, you know? He's on there, and I think because he's going to have his daughter have, like, a recurring role.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that was probably part of the deal. Like, hey, I'll do a cameo if, you know, you have a recurring role for my daughter. But I'm just saying, maybe that's kind of the way Hollywood works, I think.
I think the way it's working is that show's hurting someone. They're like, who can we get? You know what? I think we can get Snoop.
Done.
Done. Yeah, right? Like, well, come on. Like, you're just going to start throwing, like, guest stars in there now? Like, you know, I haven't even seen that show. Is it still on?
It's still on. I haven't seen it just because it just doesn't strike me as something I would watch. I mean, I watched it when I was a kid because my sister watched it, so it was just like,
You know what, 90210? Why do you stop there with Snoop and Nelly? Why don't you just go after everybody? Why don't you get George Lopez? Get Manny Pacquiao. Just bring him on there. Just have him knocking somebody out.
I'm sure they'll be on there.
You know, get Cuba Gooding Jr. for Christ's sake. He'll do him some sort of breakdance move like he did in Jerry Maguire, whatever.
I wonder if it was kind of the same reaction or people had the same reaction when, who's the band? The name escapes me right now, but they did, they're one of like, who do they do? They did Sashimi versus the Robots, the Flaming Lips. Remember when the Flaming Lips came on 90210 and they did that song Tangerine? That song is brilliant, by the way.
I have to listen to it.
Yeah. You'll listen to it. You'll be like, oh, okay, I remember that song. I wonder if this, the same reaction throughout the independent music community was faced, and they're like, dude, why are these amazing artists on Beverly Hills 90210? This is when they had the Peach Pit After Dark.
But that's when it was popular. The show's not popular anymore. You know what is popular in 90210? The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That's what's popular. That's
do you watch that?
Yes, I do.
Tell me, I don't watch that at all.
I watch all those shows like an idiot.
Why?
It freaking like a magnet. It sucks me in.
Do you watch Jersey Shore?
I watch Jersey Shore. I watch like all just name crap. I'm probably watching anything reality crap. I'm watching it. Everything. You know, I can't stand it. I can't stand that I love all these crappy shows.
Now, would you ever be on a reality show?
It all depends.
On?
It all depends. Well, I mean, I couldn't do where you move me into a home with people. You know, like, I don't want to be moved into a home with a bunch of dudes, and then it's just we're fighting over something, or there's a prize, or some, or like The Bachelor, which I love. I hate that I love that show.
Why? Why?
Because it's crap, but I TiVo it, because I'm always out at night freaking performing, so I have to come home, and I'm watching it late at night, and I'm like, maybe they'll end up together. Like a piece of shit.
Do you envision yourself in a rose ceremony, or like, have you ever thought of incorporating a rose ceremony in your act?
No, you know what? You know what? I don't like. I don't like that. Well, actually, they did. They did have a Latino, and he won the last season. He was picked to be the final, you know, guy from the female bachelorette, which was dope. But you know what? I don't like that show because they always give rich guys a bunch of girls to choose from. That's not a challenge. Like, rich guys already have a ton of girls. You need to put a friggin' broke guy who needs love. Maybe he's a good guy, decently in shape, but definitely a beer gut, because that's real. And then make those girls fight over that guy. That's a show. That'd be dope.
But that show would have to be on Telemundo.
Actually, you know what? Yeah. They already had that show, and I think it was called The Rock of Love.
No, because they were fighting for Brett Michaels' hair. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, so. Brett Michaels, he's not the best in shape. That's what I'm saying.
But he's a brand name. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And he's not the most faithful. But
who is these days?
What's that about? Cheating?
Moving right along. It seems that Khaleesi's housekeeper claims that the senior stiffed her for $900 in wages. Mm. Now, get this. Her housekeeper is here illegally, and I think Khalees kind of ratted her out. That's a way to like not pay. Is like,
that sucks.
Turn your housekeeper into the migra. You know what I mean?
It's like, why don't you just pay, bitch?
I know, and she's getting like $25,000 a month for child support. So like $900 is really nothing.
Hold on. Did you just say $25,000 a month?
Mm-hmm, for child support.
Okay.
From Nas.
That's just stupid.
Right?
That's just stupid. I can't stand that. Like, I mean, my dad didn't pay child support, but if he would have had to pay $25,000, I would have socked my mom. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Seriously, $25,000 is going all to the kids? I don't think so.
No.
I can't stand that.
It's going to Khalees and her lifestyle because this is the way that thing works. She says, I'm accustomed to this lifestyle, and the kids are accustomed to this lifestyle.
You're accustomed. Go back to work, which you should be accustomed to. Go be a waitress in Denny's.
Go back to to shaking your milkshakes because they bring all the boys to the yard.
You know what? Well, maybe it is worth 20. No, nobody's worth 25 for those types of techniques. It's bullshit.
Well, I do remember reading a story that Nas and Khalees, at the time that they were married, they actually had to buy a house like far out in the country because Khalees was just like, anytime Nas would bang her, she would just be so loud and just be screaming because it was like ridiculously good.
Well, were they having like the movie Colors sex?
No, maybe.
You remember that scene?
No, I don't. Tell me about it.
You remember the scene when the cops barge into the house and they're looking for, I forget the name of the bad guy, but they catch that couple, and their couple is just going buck wild.
Awesome.
Just buck wild. Like, there was protests, like, oh, no, black people don't fuck that hard. Like, come on, you gotta do it.
Or at least they wish.
Or, you know, I mean, it was like, it was a great scene. The girl had big boobs. Anyway, you know, but come on. You're gonna move all the way out there. That's just ridiculous.
Okay. Artist of the Week. This week's Artist of the Week hails from New York. He is one of the most amazing live acts and is friends with the Enter the Shell alumni, Katie Costello and Greg Holden. His album just dropped this Tuesday. Who is this great singer-songwriter? Check out the blog section this Friday and see who's saying that this will be a good year. Also, check out this album review Morgan did. He did an album review on the album Push, and that's from 40 Watt Hypes. Now, I read this album review because I was very curious. And like I said, Enter the Shell is all about music and exposing people to not necessarily music that they're going to hear every day. They are a group that is empowering as far as they're a little bit political, but they also bring a good message. And I was hesitant, you know what I mean, when I first started reading this article about them, but I got to listen to their music and I was really impressed because I don't like music with a positive message for some reason. I don't know why. Music like that just doesn't appeal to me, especially political music. I listen to some political music and it just really turns me off the wrong way. I don't know how you feel about music as far as like with politics in it. Do you
you know what I mean, politics, anytime, you know, I think it has anytime it's in anything artistic, you're taking a big risk, you know, to be honest with you. But I don't know, that's why I don't do any politics in my comedy. Bill Maher does, but you know what, he does it like a genius. He's massively educated on matters, and so but for as far as entering anything artistic, I'm not big on politics and art together.
What's your comedy about?
My comedy is just about regular stuff, you know, like relationships and growing up and messed up stories of childhood and, you know, bad parenting and you know, just all kinds of, just my take on just current stuff, you know, like friggin' Facebook and...
I mean, everybody has a Facebook.
Yeah, everybody does.
And you have to these days have a Facebook.
You know what I love when someone tells me, well, I have a Facebook, but I don't really use it at a horseshit. Everybody uses it. You know you do. You know, as soon as you get that friend request, you're online checking their photo albums, each and every single one. Bullshit. We all do it. Come on.
I know you do.
That's why if people didn't, then they would not leave their pages so private. You know what I mean? Because you don't want anyone to know until they befriend you.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, you don't find that, like, having that messed up childhood only helped you be a better person? Or are you not a better person?
No, I mean, I think it, you know what, I don't look at myself any different than anyone else. There's no such thing as a Kodak family. You know what I mean? We're all imperfect, but that's what makes us dope. You know, look at, they did perfect in The Matrix. It didn't work. That was stupid.
No, you're right.
The first
nobody Matrix bought didn't it. Work, right? Nobody bought it. Nobody bought being happy.
Yeah. So like, I just, you know what? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's, you know, we're all jacked up. And what I like to do is show, you know, laugh at it. Why not? You know, we're all messed up. Fuck it.
Do you laugh at yourself a lot?
I always laugh at myself. Like, if you could ask, I took a comedy buddy of mine on the road with me. I did a 5-city tour, and every single other minute, I'm like typing up stuff because I'm just cracking stupid jokes. I'm like writing all the time, just stupid stuff, everyday stuff. We bagging on people. It's just once you start, it's like a floodgate. It's just open. It just keeps going. So all the time, I'm just, you know, just shit talking.
Now, do you find this because, like, as a kid, you were being shit talked to a lot, or
no? I mean, you know what? Like, if you ever sit in my family, you know, my family for dinner. I mean, my mom shit talks every, and she'll be right away. She's like, "I don't talk bad about anyone." Mom, you just called that woman a bitch. You know, yes, yeah. You do. Well, she is. like, mom, you cuss a lot. I don't cuss. Fuck you, mom. You just don't. You know, I mean, yeah. It's just like that's what I was raised with. I was raised in that kind of environment. Then you go to the military, forget about it.
You know? You went to the Air Force, right?
Yeah, I went to the Air Force.
See, I was in the Corps.
Okay.
So like me looking at you, I'm like, wow, man, you had it so amazing. Like, right. That's so cool.
I know.
You know, what did you do? If I can.
Well, you know, I was actually like, I guess almost like a cop in the Air Force, a security specialist. So It's like, you know, you just you're the one that's guarding the gate or guarding, you know, guarding the planes and doing that type of stuff. So
I find in the military, though, it exposes you to so many different people.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so many different cultures that, like, you didn't even realize. Like,
dope.
Yeah, I went to Bassett, and I talk about this, where there was, like, four white people, one in every grade. That was, like, the way it worked.
Right.
And then when I went to the military, I ran into all these white people.
Yeah.
I met my first Jewish guy there, and I was like, holy shit, what the hell? What do you mean the world's not Mexican?
Right.
I don't get it.
I know. I know. It was a trip. It was a trip. It was awesome, man. Like, I made friends with so many different people from all over the place. That's why, like, my whole thing, like, that shaped me so much, coming from LA and being raised and stuff, and then leaving, and like you said, then you're like, holy crap, the world's this big, forget about it.
Yeah, and I also find that, like, being in the military, it also does give you a twisted, warped sense of humor. For example, I was on ship, and there was this guy, and he's like, oh my god, I've never cheated on my girlfriend, because he had a girlfriend on ship. Mm-hmm. But we were like, dude, but you're married. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right? I know. I don't even want to go there, because my stories are special. And they're private. But yeah. Let's just say, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I got really lucky, and I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. So that was dope.
You can find yourself on iBlackMouth.com, and February 1st you're going to be playing at the Irvine Improv.
That's
it. We're going to have the link on EnterTheShell.com, and it's now time for shout outs. We're going to give a shout out to Stitcher.com. They are our syndication partner. If you're not on Stitcher.com, then you are tardy to the party. Get on it and look us up, Enter the Shell Show, and there you can stream us from your iPhone or your BlackBerry or your Android, or just about any phone that you have that's a smartphone. Yeah, and the best part about it is on Tuesdays when we give a free download, you can actually listen to it on Stitcher.com, and then you can go on EnterTheShell.com, and then you can download it if you like the song or not. So it's a pretty good deal that we have going on with them. Also, I want to give a shout out to Larry David. I just found out that he is going to have his 8th season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm a huge Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Huge fan.
Right?
Huge fan.
Did you hear? It's going to be in New York now.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. And that is weird, because I didn't know how to think about that, because I loved the aspect of that it's in L.A. Mm-hmm. And the places he would go, I would be like, okay, I have to go there. I have to go check these places out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So now I'm a little sad that
his show is so dope.
It's brilliant.
Oh my gosh, he's so awesome. Like, forget about it. Like, I love watching his show.
And
huge
the
fan.
The thing about it was, I wasn't a big Seinfeld fan. Then I became a big Seinfeld fan, and then I was like, okay, it doesn't get any better than this. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, no, you have to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. And so finally, I was like, well, I don't have HBO, but finally, I hacked into the system. You know what I mean? And I started watching it, and I was just like, holy shit, this is even better than Seinfeld.
Oh, it's way better. It's why I became a huge Seinfeld fan, and you know, I respect the cat. He does some great stuff, but once I saw Curb Your Enthusiasm, forget about it. Like, he's, oh gosh, like, every single show is hilarious.
Everyone.
Every single show. All the characters, it's well acted. It's perfect.
My favorite character on there, other than Larry, because Larry's Larry.
Yeah.
Is his friend, what is it? His name escapes me right now, but he played Super Dave Osborne.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Dude, anytime I see him, I just get happy, and I'm just like, dude, yes, I will.
Super Dave.
Dude, I watched the cartoon Super Dave. I was just such a big fan. I'm so happy to see him, like, act and stuff like that. And Ted Danson, like, I wasn't a big Cheers fan. It was until later when I started drinking and getting it. And I was like, okay, I like Cheers. And then, Ted Danson.
Drinking.
Yeah, dope. Do you have any shout-outs that you want to give out?
You know what? I mean, just, no.
No worries.
No, I'm just kidding. I got a lot of friends out there. I love you guys all. You're all dope.
My other shout-out is to Ralph Figueroa.
Oh, yeah, Ralph.
Yeah, that guy, major stud.
Oh, did I have shout-outs to give? Of course, from Ralph. Oh, I didn't understand the question.
Yeah, you can find Ralph, and we'll have a link to him, facebook.com/handsomedevilcomic. Come on. I got into an argument with him. Like, you're not that much of a handsome devil.
No, actually, well, he was abused.
It is now time to find out the moral of today's show. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're going to have the Demoralizer 3000. Now, I know you're new to the End of the Shell Show and to my universe that I've created. And what we're going to do is I'm going to say a few words. And with that, it'll tell us the moral of today's show. So let me just start up the Demoralizer 3000 and we'll begin. God, lesbians, Mario Lopez, douchebags, Shonda K, Most Wanted, Aurelio, Your Majesty, and 14 Kids. That means it's done. If you'll open up that envelope and read us the moral of today's show.
And the moral of the today's show is there's something really special about 3 in the afternoon drunk that just can't be duplicated at any other time of day.
Completely true. I'm not going to lie. I'm not. I was going to lie, but then I was like, no, not going to. My guest has been iBlackMouth.com and Aurelio Miguel Boca Negra.
That's it.
See, I was like, okay, what do I do?
Right.
What do I do? Do I fuck up the name or do I?
You know what? That's all part of my set. Just fuck it up.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I really dig your shit, and I really want to go check you out.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Please don't make fun of me. That's always been like my fear. And anytime I go check out like comics and stuff like that, I always get made fun of.
Well, just as long as you don't show up to my show like you did today wearing flip flops, everybody, I can see his feet.
I have ugly feet, I will say. And I'm just getting over that too. Like, I have like the most ugliest, crappiest feet. I'm not gonna let you look at them.
I already seen him when I walked in. No, he has like the kind of toes that pick up pens. You know?
They're pretty gross. No, it's true. And I'm missing like nails and stuff like that.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, thank God.
I'm joking.
Oh, no. I've already revealed all my secrets. Special thanks again to Shonda K. Get her album, Most Wanted. It's going to be on End of the Show. We have a record store, and you can purchase her album through us. And we're going to get a little cut. And like I mentioned before, some of that money is actually going to go to the artists that have been on the show at the end of the year. We're going to do like a little poll. And like at the end of the year, if we raise like 10 bucks, you know what I mean? That money we're going to give to an artist that's been featured on the show. So make sure you buy her album through us and peruse the record store. We have a bunch of records on there that you can buy. Like I said, Irvine Improv, February 1st, iBlackMouth.com. It's going to be all right?
Oh, it's going to be insane.
We're going to leave you now with Shonda K's Dancing, and that's featuring Miss Bethany. So make sure, like I said, you go support her, and most importantly, you support Aurelio, because you need the money, man.
Yeah. Go to my website and click on all the links. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You got a lot of funny stuff, so definitely check me out.
Yeah, I was on your YouTube account, and I was watching and just being entertained for a few minutes.
Okay.
So we're going to have all the links, too, to those separate ones on Enter the Shell.
Sweet.
So don't you worry. I got you covered like a Jimmy hat. So we are going to be out of here. Here's Dancing by Shonda K. Later.
Yeah. gon' slap that ass. Ooh, baby girl, shake it fast. And watch yourself. If you feel it, how I feel it, put your hands up. Hey, wave it from left to right, pump your fist all night. Keep it moving, girl. You got the dance floor lit up. It's our world to do as it please. So put your hands on your knees and pump your back like this. Ow, ow, get it, and watch me spit. So clean and precise. The girl nice, listen up, all right. Miss B, take the mic.
No.
No. Damn you.
Not really. Turtle's not a funny animal. No, I like the turtle because it's always hard. On the back. Oh,